بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم، الحمد للہ رب العالمین، والصلاة والسلام علی اشرف الانبیاء والمرسلین محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا، فما بعد، my brothers and sisters، اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی جل جلالہ said about الصلاة، اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِكُمْ فَإِذَا اطْمَأْنَنْتُمْ فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا، which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when you have finished the salah, your prayer, your first salah, jama'at by jama'ah, when you have finished the salah, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing, sitting down and lying down on your sides, meaning continuously in whichever state you might be in. And then when you are free from danger, when you are secure, meaning for the other salah, again iqamati salah, establish a salah. Verily the salah is enjoined on the believers at fixed hours. My brothers and sisters, it is a matter of great astonishment today that the salah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had and has sent as a relief from hardship. The purpose of salah is relief from hardship. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Inna Allah ma'a sabirin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, seek help when you are in difficulty, seek help in sabr and salah, in patience and in doing everything required. Salah, sabr does not have the meaning of sitting around waiting for things to happen. It means do your best. And as salah, seek help in difficulty from salah. Truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the sabirin, with the people who have sabr, who are patient. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us salah as a relief from difficulty. This was the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the way of the sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, who any time they had any difficulty, they would stand in salah. Anytime any feeling of danger, if there was, if there was heavy rain, if there was huge thunder and lightning, if there was any tremor felt in the earth, if there was anything, any natural calamity, if there was any difficulty of a material kind, any danger from enemies, whatever, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would stand in salah. And the Sahaba would stand in salah. Anytime there was any issue, they would take shelter in salah. And that makes eminent sense for people who understand what salah is and for people who have a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our problem, that we have no connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the thing that was sent to give us relief, we consider that thing to be a burden. Right? It's like somebody, for example, if somebody has this, ailment, which is of a life-threatening nature, and if you tell the person, look, please take this medicine, right? This is the medicine that's meant for this ailment, so please take this medicine. Now, if that person says, man, this is too much trouble, I have to remember when to take it, and I have to go to the cupboard, and I have to pick up that bottle, and then I have to bring it here, and I have to swallow the thing, and so on, so on. So what are you going to tell him? What will you tell him? Here is your life being threatened by this disease. Here is a medicine which is guaranteed to cure the disease. And you say that taking the medicine, just the act of taking the medicine, is too much trouble for you. So die. What else to say? Right? Don't take it. The problem is that unfortunately, because we have lost our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we don't want to make any effort to repair that situation, we think that salah is a problem. The ayat I recited for you tells us something very clearly, which is that salah has been enjoined upon us at particular times, specific times, right? It's not left to us to say, well, pray whenever you feel like praying. Pray whenever you are free. Pray in any way you like. Pray as much or as little as you like. No. Pray specifically as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to pray. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli aw kama qala alaihi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, pray as you have seen me pray. Number one. Number two, is to pray at the specific time of the prayer. The reason I'm saying this so emphatically is because there is one situation of confusion where some people think that it is okay to deliberately miss salah and at the end of the day, you can go and make up all those salahs. So you're going to pray qada of, you know, you sleep through fajr and then you sleep through everything, and then in the night you pray isha and then you pray two rakat of qada of fajr and you pray qada of zuhur and qada of asr and so on. Now please understand, the salah has been prescribed at specific times. So that's the first thing to understand, which means that we can't just pray whenever we feel like praying. Second thing is that qada is for a salah which got missed somehow inadvertently because of forgetfulness. Maybe you slept through that salah time because you were exhausted or something. Or maybe you were in a situation, maybe you were performing this cardiac surgery and that it was a time for salah and you can't obviously leave the patient on the table and go and pray. There was no one else to take your place. And so therefore, you could not, pray on time. Now, in such a situation, and again, I'm giving you some extreme examples because that is the real example of qada. Qada is not that, I'm watching this game. It's now Super Bowl. Let the salah wait. I'll pray qada. Right? Or I'm in the shopping mall, I'm shopping and there's no place to pray here, so I'll go home and pray. That is not, these are not excuses for qada. So qada is when the salah was missed despite your best intention to pray. So you had this best intention to wake up for tahajjud, maybe you didn't do that. You had the best intention to wake up for fajr, but somehow you slept through. And now when you woke up, the sun is high up in the sky. So you say, well, now what do I do? Well, I have to pray. So inshallah, I pray qada. So then in that situation, what you must do is to pray qada immediately. As soon as you realize, pray qada immediately. Right? So qada is not an optional thing. If you deliberately leave a salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "As salah is the covenant and it is the dividing line between the person who is not Muslim and the Muslim, right?" And he said, "The one who leaves it has left Islam. فَمَنْ أَرَادَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ." Right? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-ahadu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah, faman aradaha faqad kafara. The ahad, the covenant, the dividing line between them and us is salah. The one who leaves it has left Islam. The a'imma, the muhaddithun, the scholars of hadith and the ulama, the only thing they have differed is in the interpretation of what does it mean to leave salah. Nobody had any, none of the sahaba, none of the ulama, none of the aimma have any difference of opinion about leaving salah and leaving Islam. There is a difference of opinion about what constitutes leaving salah. Somebody said, just deliberately leaving one salah is enough to exit you from Islam. Somebody else said, just leaving one salah is not enough. It must be over a period of time. Some other people said, no, the person who is leaving salah, definitely he is committing a major sin and he is punishable for that. But he has not become a non-Muslim. He has not become an apostate. He has not left Islam. For him to do that or her to do that, they should actually say that. You know, verbally, they must say, I will not pray. Prayer is not for me. Salah is not for me. Some such thing. They should actually say it and follow it up with their action. Then they leave salah. So there is a difference of opinion in terms of what constitutes leaving of salah. But leaving that difference of opinion apart, there is nobody who said that leaving salah is okay. There is no one who said that salah is optional. It's something that you, if you pray, you pray. If you don't pray, it's okay. Nobody said that because Rasulullah ﷺ didn't say that. He said the one who deliberately leaves salah and the people who have ruled that even leaving one salah constitutes exit of Islam is based on this hadith. Because he said one aradaha, he's talking about one, right? He's saying the one person who has left one salah. Now people come, they said, well, in Arabic, the plural of the plural is muannas and muannas is also muannas. So sometimes people say, well, maybe he meant it in plural. Maybe he didn't mean it one. But the point is that in the line of the hadith before that, where he said, Al-Hadulladhi bainana wa bainahum as-salah. He said, the salah. He didn't say all the salawat. He didn't say all five or, you know, for over salahs for 3 months or something. He won salah. Anyway, as I told you, my purpose here is not to go into that discussion. That is immaterial. The thing to remember is one, is very clear that the salah is something for our benefit. We are not benefiting Allah by it. It's for our benefit. Allah sent it to us as a relief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it to us as a ni'mah, as a mark of His favor on us and as an honor for us. So let us treat that with respect which it deserves. Number one. Number two, it is not random. It's not whenever I feel like praying. It's not whenever, I have free time or something. No. It is to be prayed at its specific time as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. I gave you the Quranic reference. And we have the reference of the whole life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no instance where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deliberately left a salah and say, okay, I will pray qada. No. He prayed qada, but that was when he overslept Fajr one time. And all of these are because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach us what to do in that situation. So, He made His Nabi do that, alayhi salam. So, therefore, salah is at a particular specific time. Must be prayed at that time. If you happen to miss it, and as I told you, happening to miss is not never a deliberate action. It is always inadvertent. It is always forced upon you despite your best intention. And believe me, that is dangerous ground because who decides? It is you and Allah. It is between you and Allah. If you say, well, you know, it was forced, when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show you how it was your decision and it wasn't forced. So please, don't fall into that trap. So if it is forced, it is something that was inadvertent, it was something beyond your control, then you must pray qada and the qada must be prayed at as soon as possible. The moment you remember that, immediately pray it. Now, final point. What about praying the qada of Fajr in the night or the qada of Isha in the morning? Yes, you can do that. For qada, there is no specific time. So, you can pray any qada of any salah at any time of the day. But try to pray it as quickly as possible, as soon as you remember. I hope I have clarified all these doubts in this particular reminder. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us firm on His deen and to enable us to live our lives in a way that is pleasing to Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.